Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Oh yeah, we thought we would have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't. But that's okay.
It is. It's okay. We remind ourselves every week it's okay. Well, I want to start this episode off by singing a little tune.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Is it Broadway Kayla's coming back out? Is it from Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
It is not, but it is from your second favorite.
You know, one of these days, I'm going to need a performance of that.
It's even better. Are you ready, Candace?
Oh, yeah.
There's no words to it. It's just a few, a little melody.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Go.
California, here we come. Yes. We are in California. We are doing a dream episode today, guys, about a little show from the early aughts. You might have heard of it, called The OC, which... Kayla Yule, you were on.
I did 3 episodes of The OC. I did a few episodes of The Vampire Diaries. This is a culmination of 2 of my favorite pieces of work coming together. This episode truly is so much fun. You guys, we are sitting down with Rachel Bilson and Melinda Clark. Melinda, we both know, Candace, from The Vampire Diaries. Rachel, I know a little bit, but not so much. And I am such a fangirl of hers. This is so fun to be able to sit down and have a conversation with her. What was your experience, Candace, watching The OC?
I mean, it was everything. I also was living in LA at the time I just moved here. So I just was so starstruck by all of Hollywood, anything on TV, and then being out and about and seeing anyone from TV was just mind blowing to me. You know, I would pick up every Us Weekly. I'd follow all the stars of The OC, you know, in the magazines every week. I so desperately wanted to be them. The only thing I could afford were the spray tans. I never had a juicy suit and I never had a sidekick. But OMG, I had some really, really wild spray tans that I can even post some photos of on our social media, just for clarification in case you don't believe me. But Kayla, what about you? You actually were an actress at the time. You got to work on this huge pop culture phenomenon TV show at a really pivotal moment within the series as well. What was it like to get that job?
Yeah, it was really fun. I was going to college at the same time at Loyola Marymount University here in LA and had gotten the audition and thought, oh my, I just remember being a fan of the show because I wasn't on it until season three. And there are very few times as an actor that you go out for a show that you're an actual fan of. And so I was very excited to do so and read the sides and could not get enough of it. And I just remember, oddly enough, not being that nervous. And I think I had some finals happening at the same time. And there was just a lot happening in life. And so I went in, did it, came back. And all my roommates at the time were so excited, too, because they loved the show. And then getting the call and truly being like, wow, this is happening. And we had so little money because we were living on our college budgets, scraping together money to go out to dinner to celebrate. And it was truly one of those times in my life I'll never forget. And yeah, it was just a lovely, lovely experience. And
did you watch the show with your friends when it aired?
Oh, of course. Yes, of course. All of our friends came over. It was like a massive little screening, I guess. One of my first screenings in my time. I had the tiniest little TV in my, I guess it was a tiny little apartment on campus. So not technically a dorm room, but the smallest TV ever. And so many people packed into my tiny little apartment. And it was really fun.
That's so fun.
Back in the day.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, we're also going to be speaking. So Melinda Clark, who Kayla, you just mentioned, also was an actress on The Vampire Diaries. She played your mom.
Yes.
And she actually was almost a real life mom to me temporarily. You'll hear us discuss that. I actually moved in with Melinda for a month during a hiatus between season one and season two of Vampire Diaries. So she goes by Mindy to her close BFFs. So, you know, we're cool like that. We all call her Mindy because we're cool. You know, we're cool like Rachel Bilson. We can call her Mindy too.
I feel like there's so many parallels between these two shows, and we've learned that throughout our interview with Rachel and Mindy. And now we're all fellow podcasters and we're moms, and there's so many things that we can all connect on.
So in case you are of the youth, as I like to call the younger generation, and you actually don't know what the OC is, it is a TV show that was on for four seasons from 2003 to 2007. Rachel Bilson played the part of Summer Roberts, while Melinda Clark played the part Julie Cooper, who was the mother of Misha Barton's character, Marissa Cooper. The OC followed the lives of affluent families living in California's Orange County after a troubled young man is adopted into one of their homes. Dun, dun, dun. It's excellent. There were 92 episodes. I highly recommend watching it. You can stream it nowadays and just have like a wonderful OC binge. But why we wanted to sit down with Rachel and Melinda today is because they have a new podcast called Welcome to the OC Bitches, which is the ultimate OC rewatch podcast. Each week, they're taking you back to a particular episode where they're sharing behind the scenes scoops and interviews with guests who were a part of the OC experience. We cannot wait to interview them about what it's like to be rewatching a show that meant so much to them in their lives. So without further ado, here they are, Rachel Bilson and Melinda Clark. And we are back with Rachel Bilson and Melinda Clark. Ladies, we are so excited to be sitting down with you guys today, not only for the obvious tie-in that Kayla was actually on the OC, and everyone has been talking about your new podcast, but I want to just start off with, you know, I sat down to listen to it, and the first thing that I hear is the instrumental from Phantom Planet's California just coming on, and it immediately brought me back to like the early aughts, and I just felt like I could breathe. I felt like I was driving down the PCH and I had like all the hope and like all the life ahead of me. And it literally made me feel like I was a kid again. What does hearing that song make you guys feel like? Because it's got to have an immediate reaction.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing with the OC is the theme song. You know, it's like the first thing that takes you back. And I don't know, maybe Phantom Planet's okay with that, but that song will forever be tied to the show. But it's definitely the biggest trigger, I think. Wouldn't you say, Mindy? Like, it's just...
I kind of just got on Instagram this year because of the podcast, and I recorded myself dancing to it for like 40, 60 seconds and put it on my stories. And that's how it makes me feel. I just dance through the whole thing.
So, yeah. It's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling, especially, you're right, there aren't that many. I feel like Friends has, you know, the song that comes on the beginning and you think of it, and like,
absolutely.
But it's rare from that time, I think, that a song can be so defined by a series, mm-hmm. and which just goes to show how defining your guys's, the series that you were on was and still is.
Well, geez. Yeah. No, that's
And not only re-listening to the music, but re-watching yourselves 18 years later. God. What is that experience like? It's got to be nostalgic, but are there moments that you cringe and moments you cry? It just must bring up everything.
Oh, it's a permanent cringe. I mean, the first season for sure is permanent cringe. I'm like, Mindy and I have talked a lot about the bronzer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just like the look. I mean, for me, because look, Mindy, you were in your 30s. I mean, you're gorgeous always and forever. But like at 21 and now 39, watching my 21-year-old self, I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Like, it's just a little terrifying for me in many ways.
What, was it a fake tan? Like a fake tan bronzer?
Oh,
or?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Bronzer.
I have skin cancer in my family. So it was, but they very specifically asked me to go to that spray tan. You remember the spray tan booth where you would stand in there?
Yes.
And do like the Ross in Friends.
We talked about Friends, but anyway.
Yeah. I would do it at night and then sleep in it. And I kid you not, I would wake up with crazy bumps all over my skin, and I'm sure it's gotten better now, but at some point I finally said, I can't do this. It just makes me smell bad. And so we started doing it with makeup. But as you see this, as the series goes on, you can tell that the skin gets a little bit more ivory.
Less orange, right? We like that look.
Yeah.
The more natural look.
But also the hair and the makeup kind of gets a little more tame as well as the show goes on, I think.
Right.
Well, it's a very specific look.
Yes.
Right. It's a very specific part of the world that has a very specific look, but you guys were trendsetters. You started, as much as you look back and hate seeing those trends, a lot of people copied that. So, you know, you made a lot of teenagers orange.
And also, I think Misha really popularized the UGG.
Right. That's true. I will accept it.
It is definitely acceptable.
I make up words all the time. The other day, I'm like, it's self-explanatory. And they're like, it's explanatory. Anyway, that's what you mean today. Sorry.
How old were you? I mean, come on. You were a kid, right?
I was 16, 17. I wasn't super young.
You were Misha's age.
Yeah.
And so I had just moved to L.A., and so I literally like left Orlando, Florida, just with like blonde hair and just wearing like Abercrombie and Fitch and my pale skin, even in Florida. And then I like came back from my high school graduation with bright red hair, a full spray tan, walking in with sunglasses and like a Starbucks latte, which I thought was like so badass to know what a latte was. And, but I lived in the spray tan booth. I read Us Weekly all the time. I wore Uggs and jean skirts because that was a whole thing, like wearing a very tiny jean skirt with like very comfortable, hot, sweaty Uggs in the valley in the heat of the summer.
I'll never forget. I did an episode with you guys and Wardrobe gave me this incredible set of Uggs that I'm not lying, I still have to this day. I've gotten them resold because they are genuinely so cool. And I've never seen them and I've never seen anyone wear them. And I feel like you guys had this really amazing opportunity where people would give clothes to the show that maybe weren't even made or weren't even developed yet, or they were trying. I don't know. What was that experience like? And did you have a lot of say into what your character wore?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I always looked at, in the beginning, they were dressing me kind of older, you know, because I was young, although I guess I was 32 when it started, 33 when it started. Mm-hmm. But Josh has said that there was a note that they wanted my character to be dressed a lot older to make it, I guess, plausible. But as the show went on, I said, you know, I grew up in Orange County, and in Orange County, the moms and the daughters, they look like sisters.
They do.
So I would see what Misha and Rachel were wearing, and I'm like, why am I wearing, I mean, I love St. John, but I thought that it was a little too old for me with the shoulder pads and such. But I started wearing more cute tops, you know, the tunic tops and the citizens jeans, that kind of thing. Nice. As the show goes on, but I also took more risks for Julie than I would have personally, like Cavalli and big bright colors and such like that. But
right.
Yeah. Rachel, did you get to pick? Did you give a lot of?
I think I was just like, hey, what are you putting me in? You know, I don't think I really had much input.
But we know that Misha definitely had connections to Chanel and Missoni, and she was given, or I don't know if they were given or lent, but she definitely had a lot of designer items that were pretty coveted or possibly not out there yet.
And only she specifically could wear it.
Right.
Wow.
I think there so. Was, yeah. Chanel so. For sure. Right.
Wow. Right. Yes. There's some pretty famous ones.
That's great.
Yeah. We did not have any of that glamour on our series. It was just jeans, tank tops, right. and a jacket, leather jacket. That's it. It was like everyone wore kind of the same thing. Okay. Obviously, you know, you guys have talked about the, like getting the job and what that felt like. We all know that The OC had such a quick trajectory and became such a staple in pop culture at that time. And it really elevated everyone's level of success, not only in having a job, but then also really being pushed into the limelight. When did you guys know, oh, this isn't just a show that people watch and kind of like, this is a whole cultural movement and everybody's watching? When did that moment kind of strike you? Especially at such young ages.
Well, we've talked about this when it kind of hit us, right, Mindy? Do we agree that it was that event?
That first event, because it was only we started, if you all remember, American Idol, I think, started the same year, and we followed American Idol. And within a month, we had some of our highest ratings, like close to 15 million. But we did an event. We shot at Manhattan Beach, Raleigh Studios in Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And they took us all from work to go to this little signing event, some fan event. And we came over the hill, and they put us all each in an individual cars. And as we came over the hill, it wasn't a few hundred people. It was waves of thousands of people screaming. And we all have reflected on this and had this moment of what is this? What are we doing? What's going on? And that was literally just a month into the show being aired.
Right.
Think, mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of similarities between the OC and how it hit. It was just this massive amount of instant fame, and The Vampire Diaries being, you know, this massive amount of instant fame in the vampire craze. It's just two different eras. And so I'm wondering too, and Candace roping you into this question as well, like, how does it feel to have it? What amount of pressure do you feel to have that instantaneous, you go from 0 to 100 overnight, essentially. And that's gotta be difficult, excited. There's so many emotions that swirl around with that. Now looking back, would you guys have changed how you handled it, or was it, what was the experience like? Take us through it.
I mean, first, I'm so grateful that Instagram, social media didn't exist when all of that happened. I think it would have been a totally different experience in a lot of ways. I was 21 at the time. Again, like Adam, Ben, Misha, like that kind of crew of people being peers-ish. Misha was a little younger, which still blows my mind that she was 16 and going through all this. We had each other. We were kind of like riding through it together, which felt very supportive and cool. But again, had social media been around, I don't know what would have happened. But for me, it just was. Like, it wasn't, I can't think of like a negative thing about it. I think a lot of that also attributes to how I was raised and stuff. But
do you have family in the business, Rachel?
I do. Yeah. My whole dad's side of the family, someone is somewhere in the business. So I grew up on sets and blah, 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 all that crap. But blah, blah, blah. And Mindy's dad also, you know, she grew up with, your dad was a soap opera star.
Yeah. And he made a very conscious decision to not live in Los Angeles. And we lived in the OC in Dana Point. But I think your question about the fame, this was one of the number one questions I had when Rachel and I started the podcast. I want to talk to you being one of the core four as the young people, because of course they got so much more attention than the adults did. And that's, you know, just normal. And I was, you know, CG says, hi, by the way, Candace. Aww. She's 21.
I that which blows my mind. Right. I cannot believe that.
But CG was three when it started. And it was, work was almost a respite from being a young mom. I'd go home, do domestic, and I'd work maybe 3, maybe 4 days a week. And it was just the perfect job. And it was in LA and it wasn't Atlanta or Toronto or, you know, and for me, it was more like watching on the outside of the attention that everyone got. And now that we know that it was a very difficult time for Misha, she's been publicly talking about it. Ben has said in an interview that it was like a rocket ship. I don't think he was prepared for the amount of fame. Mm-hmm. And I've read that Adam has said, you know, he felt kind of insulated. You know, sometimes when you live in LA and you're on a very popular show, it's an industry show, you know, or it's an industry town. So it doesn't feel overwhelming in that. You guys were in Atlanta. Did you feel when your show was very, very popular and you guys did what, 9 seasons?
Whoa.
8, yeah.
8 seasons?
Eight.
Did you 9 feel
months a year.
You and you were doing it together? Did you feel insulated in that or?
I called it the traveling circus that never traveled anywhere. but the blessing was that same, I was 21 as well, Rachel. And there was no social media. There was Twitter, but there was no Instagram for the first majority of our time there. And it felt like because we were out of LA, it was easy to forget that we were on a show that people watched at all.
Right.
So I think what helped, obviously Nina, Ian and Paul being the trifecta that they were, they got the brunt of it kind of during the first break of the series, like our first hiatus. I think that they saw like how big the show was, where the rest of us were just, you know, hanging out in Atlanta. And it ended up being a really big blessing for me because when I was in LA, I was very into going to the clubs. I was like so starstruck by the whole LA Hollywood experience and was very grateful to like go back. I had family in Atlanta. You know, we were all as a cast hanging out at my aunt's lake house, you know, tubing.
Cool.
And it was really fun. And we were kind of this family, especially with the crew as well. And so there wasn't this like constant feeding of like, you're in the industry and there's events and there's carpets and then here's a gifting suite and here's this. It was, hey, what football game's playing this weekend? Whose place are we going to watch it? You know, which wine bar are we all going to meet up at? Like that was more the socializing.
There was like a lot of normalcy to it. Because
a lot of normalcy.
Yeah.
You make a really, really good point because to be seen, you have public, when you're on a show that's very popular, to be seen, you need to go to those red carpets, which are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're not on the weekends. And you choose to go to those and it might be a school night and you have to think of it as work. You show up, get your picture taken, go to bed to be up the next day. So Rachel, I'm sure you were invited to those things constantly and you probably had to make the choice. Nope, I'm not doing that one. Or you have to be selective and you have to have a very, very clear head on your shoulders of like what the balance is of your responsibility to publicity, which Warner Brothers demanded, or that was part of your job, that you had to go to certain events and you had to be at work at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, so being in Atlanta, you didn't always have to do those things.
Right. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, never, never, never. It was, instead, we were like the same time we really got to know each other, Mindy and Kayla, we all got to know each other. We went to a lake house or a cabin.
Oh my gosh.
It was I think like Matt Davis's birthday.
That's
and
so funny.
A whole group of us went to a cabin and had like a wonderful weekend, you know, in the Georgia mountains, you know, like that was our big
I
social.
Want that. I want that. Yeah.
It was really cool.
Rachel, I don't know if you know this. So Kayla played my daughter on the Vampire Diaries, but your character had already died by the time I came on. Then I did I was talk about a bad mom. But then when I did the pilot for Nikita, and then during hiatus, Candace came and lived with me.
What?
In Sherman Oaks. For like what, a month for the summer?
A month.
Well, yes. How do you guys know each other? Because of Vampire Diaries?
Yeah.
She was hiatus, and I said, come stay at my house with me and CG. Cool.
No wonder I was like, oh, you obviously know CG well, and I was trying to put it together.
I know. Mindy took me in. I had a roommate situation, like a temporary roommate situation that fell out. And then I ran into Mindy, and she was like, just come stay with me. I had like all my stuff in the car. And so I got to hang out with CG. I was explaining what I remember specifically. I mentioned like a CD, and she was like, what's a CD? And she only knew like an iPod at the time. And I was like, this is a big moment.
Do you remember? And then Stephen McQueen, like everybody would come to my house at the time. And we'd go on CG's trampoline.
Yes, a lot of front flips were on that trampoline. Maybe a few sequins from outfits that I was wearing, doing front flips in sequins. But I specifically just one of my questions I wanted to ask you is, obviously, Rachel, you mentioned that you were 21 when the show started, and obviously when a show becomes very successful, in that environment, there can be a lot of yes people around. There can be. It's hard to kind of grow and develop in an environment where everyone is telling you how wonderful everything is and putting all this adult pressure on you, but then you're kind of getting handed everything you want, like a child. And so I found that experience pretty relevant to my life at the start of Vampire Diaries, and even reflected in, like, you know, Mindy, when I was staying with you, I look back at, like, I just was like kind of a, you know, spoiled young girl that like didn't realize like staying with people, like cleaning up after my own dishes and, you know, maybe staying out a little late and just, you know, behaviors that happen when you're younger. And then you realize when you're an adult and you've got your own kids where you're like, oh my goodness, thank goodness I had wonderful people around me, like some of our producers or Mindy, who gave me like really good advice and, you know, wasn't just kind of brushing it off, but I felt like really, you know, talked to me and kind of helped me grow. Mm-hmm. And that I definitely have that perspective of appreciation now in my 30s with children and with, you know, teenagers and I have in my house.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order.
quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the Chocolate Bliss and Caramel Sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
Back.
Are there things you look back on where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that when I was younger or said that, but then also you have some grace for yourself given the circumstances? And this is based off of, I know you had talked with Tate Donovan on your show.
Oh yeah, when he called all the kids knuckleheads. Is that what the word
I don't know if it was knuckleheads. But.
Well, he did. Yeah, that was one of them.
Oh, maybe knuckleheads.
One of them. No, Tate and I cleared it up. It was good. I always, always, always have been grateful for the experience and everything we went through. There, of course, was a time being young and influenced by other people around you and things going on, you know, you can kind of lose, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like, you know, lose
perspective.
Perspective. Sure. Yeah, exactly. I don't think I was ever too extreme with that, but I think there was definitely a moment of like, oh, like I can do, you know, a movie now if I want to, and I can, you know what I mean? And you get caught up in kind of that part of it. But it was very short-lived, and I always get checked by my family or whatever it may be and my surroundings and being grounded with that. I mean, having like awesome people to look up to, like Mindy, as you know, like, you know, just having been in it for so long and being so cool and being a mom and all of it mm-hmm. also helped, because you had like really cool adults to look up to and who have done it forever, you know, with Kelly and Mindy and Peter and Tate, and like, what better, you know, mentors could one have? So there was like a mix of like kind of losing sight maybe for like a split second, but always coming back down to the core and like being grounded and grateful, which I still am to this day. And being Josh Schwartz is literally like my brother in real life. And so I always have him to thank and also torture with what else he's going to put me in.
That is something I was going to ask you guys about. What was it like to have one of the youngest show creators? Because, you know, he is your boss, but he's also a friend and similar in age, older, younger, but very similar. Uh-huh. And so what is that dynamic like?
Well, we all hung out. Like Josh, we all became best friends. I introduced him to my best friend and they got married and had kids and, you know, so we were all very integrated, but we all did hang out a lot off of set. Mindy, I mean, all of us, we had like the best time and all genuinely liked being together. We were very fortunate in that way, but yeah, Josh was just one of us and, you know, we all became really good friends.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something to kind of touch on what you're talking about. At 21, a lot of kids are in college experiencing, you know, being social, being out of their homes, you know, being away from parents, doing all of those things that you're supposed to do when you're young, which is, you know, whether you're drinking or experimenting, whatever you're doing with life, you do it in that at that young age. So by the time you're ready for marriage and kids and dependence, it's out of your system. Like, you know, you have to experience life in some way. And being a young actor on a TV show puts you in a very responsible adult professional business, right? And at some point, if you haven't had some of those moments as just a human being growing, it might come out in other ways. I mean, we all of us here experience having to be on location in different cities and the pressure of that and having young kids on set. I might have words of wisdom, but boy, it's been difficult, you know, like there've been so many times, and I'm saying this based because I'm giving you guys so much respect for your podcast. I've been listening and I love the fact that you're putting focus on self and growth and how we navigate through life in what we do for a living. And I'm interested because I'm a little bit older than you guys and you're all young moms and how you're balancing that, because I found it really difficult and it was very, and at some point it became very challenging for me to be, for instance, in Toronto when CG was in California because she wanted to stay at her school. And just recently I've been able to really do a lot of self-reflection and growth and get back to a better place because the industry really did a number on me mentally where I wasn't enjoying it so much, you know?
Were you not enjoying it in relevance to being a working mom? Cause that's in general, the way that the industry kind of become.
It's the location thing when I got to Toronto, CG was 10 and she said, okay, I want to stay at my school in Sherman Oaks. So I thought, you know what? I'll fly back and forth. So, which was fine. I was only gone maybe 3 weeks out of the time, but I was flying maybe 45 times in a few years, going back and forth, back and forth. And at some point you're not sleeping the same time at the same moments, your circadian rhythms are off, you know, and you're memorizing dialogue and there's pressure and I'm doing it because am I doing it for the joy of it or am I doing it to pay the bills? Mm-hmm. So at some point I came home after that series and I was just wiped out. And in fact, I was offered, I believe, to come back to Vampire Diaries right after Nikita was over, which I wanted to do, but I said, I can't be away from my daughter anymore. Yeah. I hope I didn't upset Julie Plotkin too much, but you have to say no as a mom. It's just very, very challenging.
It's really challenging. I mean, being a mom in this business, I didn't go back to work full time until Briar was 3 and it was impossible. I was in Vancouver. I brought her with me. She wasn't in school yet, but it was a two-hander. So literally like I saw my daughter basically on the weekends a little. Like it was awful. It was awful. It's such a hard thing to do and to make those decisions because for me, mom is number one. So that always comes first, you know? And so it's like balancing that. And the fact that you did that, Mindy, the back and forth, Toronto, I mean, it's just...
I can't imagine. Because that wasn't just for like a month. That was a long time. Yeah. I just went back. I have a 7-month-old as
well. Oh my gosh. And, I know. I was like, wait, you're pregnant.
I know. I was one of those like, oh, it's That's a pandemic awesome. And we're pregnant. Like, yeah, what a week, really. yeah, but I have a 7-month-old and I had the opportunity to go work for a couple of weeks. And I just have been so conditioned to think like, I need to work and I can make it all work. And I just went back so quickly, you know, and I found myself in a different state, just sitting in a hotel room alone, like feeling like there's like this ghost limb, like I'm separated from my baby. Mm-hmm. And who put this pressure on me? Is it like, was it this idea that if I don't go back to work, that I'll never get hired again, I'll never get a job. And there's a million other women lined up trying to get the job, you know, or like, do I even really want to be here? And, it is really, really tough. It's like this idea that we're all supposed to be like able to balance it. And the reality, in my opinion, is just like, no, there's going to be days where you're at work and it sucks and you just want to be home with your babies. And there's going to be days where you're home with your babies and you're like, I need my sense of identity and I want to be at work. Which Mindy, when you were working on the OC and, you know, as someone who had a child, like, did you feel like you had a support system there, or was it just because you'd worked before then? You'd worked on other series. Was this just a completely different experience where you had some sort of handle on it?
Well, no, I mean, to be perfectly honest, no, I was married to her dad and he was at home and during the OC. So there was, you know, she was, and so it was a perfect job. It was, you know, like I said, I wasn't working the same hours as Misha and Ben and the kids. So it was just this, and like you said, work can be a respite for domestic life. So it was just lovely. So, but once the show was over, I felt that pressure. You got to get a job. And Rachel and I have talked about this on the podcast. I felt this immense pressure to get another job to maintain that lifestyle. And that, you know, and so
the
when
status.
I, yes. And it took, Nikita didn't come about for a few years after that. And CG came with me for the first month and because it was summertime, but she was 10 and she's like, Mom, please, I just want to go to my school. She loved her school.
Mm-hmm. And her friends and everything else.
And her friends and everything. Yeah. So she stayed in LA and that drive, I don't want to be ungracious or ungrateful. I loved the work. And there were times where I just loved the work. And to be honest, it's easier to not have your child in the same city on location. So it was easier for me to do that. But by the time I came back, I was just so wiped out that I said, I can't, I don't want to work. And that's a dangerous thing too. But fast forward to a pandemic, where that, you know, that thought process of us, we got to get a job. It's been instilled in us as actors. Mm-hmm. When the whole world shuts down and we're all in this together and you can't work, oh, what am I going to do with myself? Well, maybe I'm going to work on myself and become a little self-aware. And maybe I'm going to do some healing that should have been happening since I was 18. Mm-hmm. And that's what this last year has been about for me. And being able to work from home with a podcast in a very gentle, celebratory way is just super rewarding.
That's what Candace and I always talk about, how grateful we are to have this podcast, because we can be pregnant, breastfeeding, all this stuff, and do this at the same time. I honestly feel really grateful with my transition from motherhood into back to work. It was 6 weeks in and they were so understanding and lovely, and my husband would bring her to set and she would, it was just amazing. And I know not everyone has that experience. And I can imagine feeling that pressure to do that. And she'll be too soon. And we're, you know, it's definitely one of those things where just being able to work and be a mom through a pandemic has been the biggest gift, to be able to feel purposeful in both directions and feel complete. It really is a huge, and that's what podcasting does. That's what you can do it from anywhere in the world. We can all still have our careers in acting and be moms and everything. Have you guys, how has this experience becoming podcasters been for you?
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about, like being able to work from home and still be mom and do all the things. Although my daughter had to make a special sign to put up on the door because she really loves to come in when I'm doing it.
That's really cute.
Yeah, I let them make your special sign and when it's up and whatever. But it's been, I feel so fortunate to be able to do that. And, you know, she went back to school the last part of the school year, which was also awesome because she started kindergarten and that's a big year and she got to actually do it. And she loved it. But I just think it's been such a great experience and podcasting with Mindy and reliving the OC. It's been really fun. And just catching up with everybody and hearing everyone's experiences. And honestly, I'm watching the show basically for the first time because I have no memory. I literally don't remember a thing. So that's been really cool too. I'm like watching the show as an audience member and I'm like, you know what? This is fun.
Have you showed your daughter the show yet?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Has your daughter watched the show? Will you guys show your kids the show at some point?
I always say when she's 35, she can watch it.
When she's 35. Yeah. Okay.
CG only watched it when she was 18. She refused. Oh, she watched the Vampire Diaries, Gossip Girl Vampire Diaries before. And then she wouldn't watch the OC. And I said, but why not? She's like, because you're kissing the young guys. I'm like, Vampire Diaries? Oh my God, I have to tell you this. She's obsessed with Ian. She has a pillow with his face on it. Go to CG's TikTok. And all of her TikToks are the video. Because she comes up to me and she says, hey, mom, what was it like to make out with Ian Somerhalder? And I won't tell her. And she's got millions of like views or something.
How was it, Mindy? How was it? So yeah.
I will never tell.
It was great.
That is very funny. All of us had to make out with Ian Somerhalder on the show.
He was like the token.
I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, poor guy. Poor him.
It's very incestuous of him too to make out with both of us, Mindy. That's very weird.
I know, right? I know. I realize like how incestuous just like the show, like the characters are within any TV series.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of it, like who, like, yeah, it, eventually I feel like everyone ends up on, like all the characters end up making out with all the characters.
I mean, and Kayla played Casey, Bolchek's friend, in the van when Marissa died.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, she was I thought Caleb for a second, and I was Caleb.
Wait, is there something to do with the van? What about the van?
You were in the van.
Oh, right. I'm basically my character for because you guys haven't. I don't think you've gotten to season three yet, have you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So I came in on season three when Marissa goes to the public school. Mm-hmm. Oh no, not public school. Oh no. And I'm her friend in public school, and Johnny's girlfriend, who he then ends up with.
Hi.
Yeah. So, anyways, I have to tell you, I remember auditioning and thinking and being such a fan of the show and getting the sides and just being excited to read what was going to happen. I wasn't even thinking about getting on the show. I was just excited to like see the character names and then being so thrilled and seeing how close you guys were. That was one of my first experiences on set, seeing the actors really being friends with each other and being nice to each other.
Yeah.
And in turn on Vampire Diaries, that exact same experience happened. Everyone was friends. Everyone was nice to each other. And it's not always like that.
Right.
It takes a very specific group of people to create that environment. And so, you know, I think that's really testament to everyone here, what the kind of person that we all are to create an environment where everyone feels loved and accepted and excited to create together.
I love that because that's the experience I had. So thank you for saying that, because sometimes you hear stories of that it wasn't like that. And when I hear these negative stories that from our set or rumors or such that it wasn't like that, it confuses me because that's not what I experienced.
Me either. I mean, we all really had a good time. I mean, obviously I dated my co-star, so I liked him a little bit, but
a lot of that happened on the Vampire Diaries too. Don't even like everyone dated everyone.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kayla. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I
want to
know. Still that hurt.
Pants didn't date anybody.
What? No, never. My poor husband.
Don't listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Well, also, Paul was on our show too.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That
a
is
lot
so
of crossovers
I know.
Happening here.
Many crossovers. Okay, well, we've talked a lot about, well, first of all, you guys have, I wrote it down, 92 episodes
yep.
to go yeah. through. Oh, so, yeah. You like, and so I'm very excited mm-hmm. that everyone gets to kind of relive all of these episodes. Do you feel coming off of the pandemic, everyone is kind of getting back out and about again, everything is opening up. Do you find that people are coming up to you more often talking about the OC and people maybe revisited it during the pandemic? I feel like it was such a year for people gravitating towards comfort shows they'd already seen or shows that they knew that they hadn't watched yet. Have you felt that?
I definitely know a lot of people have said that they rewatched the OC during the pandemic. I haven't been out enough to experience people actually like coming up right. and being like, I just watched the OC because I still don't really leave my house. but yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, whether it's on Instagram or wherever you see it, or like we rewatched the show during the pandemic was the show to do. Or at least for a day.
I think a lot of people have been discovering it because of pandemic. I know that, you know, we had a kind of, we didn't have that many new shows happening. And so people started rewatching. But last week I got a DM from my next door neighbor who said, hey, it's me, your next door neighbor. I just started watching the show and I realized he's like, it's me, the one with the five kids next door. And I was like, he just randomly started watching it. And he said, I didn't realize it was you. So yes, there are people all over just discovering shows.
That is hilarious.
That is.
All over or right next door.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about how the show started and that initial trajectory into fame and its placement in pop culture at the time. But I want to also talk about how it ended. Mm-hmm. When The Vampire Diaries was ending, it was a really emotional time. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of really special moments that we made happen together collectively as a cast and then also as a cast and crew. Do you guys have memories of the last days of filming, or was there something that, like a dinner, or, you know, have you guys, you know, was there a delayed dinner of all coming together, or did it kind of just end?
Did we have a wrap party or anything, Mindy?
We had wrap parties every year, but I'm sure we did. I honestly, look, I'll be honest. I kind of felt like at the end, it was a balloon, you know, it wasn't. I don't know. It felt kind of short. I think we only got picked up for 16 episodes. I guess there apparently it had been questionable even if we were going to have that fourth season.
Oh wow!
And there was a lot of things that changed over this 4 years that the show was on, the different time slots, the different heads mm-hmm. of the network, and the ratings were going down. The death of Marissa. There were just so many things in there that if you went in with I don't even know if this is a term, a forensic journalist, like what happened to this hyper, hyper successful cultural phenomenon that it ended the way it ended. Although I do believe, and I do believe Josh believes, it ended on a very high creative note, that fourth season that everyone was quite proud of. So I think it was time to move on, but I remember feeling pretty melancholy and bummed that the show wouldn't continue. And I know that Peter and Kelly and I have all had that conversation that we would have loved for it to continue. And I don't remember, you know, I do remember we did have a dinner. I'm just sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine.
We didn't, but I don't remember being in a love fest that it, gotcha. You know, I don't know.
I don't think I was, I mean, I was working on a movie while we were finishing the season. Like I was flying right. back from Toronto doing both at the same time. I think I was probably gone when it ended.
I don't remember going out with a big bang. I remember,
No, it was like a deflated balloon. Like Adam and I had broken up and like, it was all kind of like happening at the same time and then doing other things. And I think there were just a lot of distractions at the time. So it wasn't like, you know, coming together to celebrate. It doesn't,
right.
I don't think it was that.
So on that note.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back.
I mean, it sounds like you both had a huge support system that... And also great guidance that you grew up with that served you so well on a show like The OC. I also, you know, I know that we've been talking forever, but I still really want to ask a little bit if you're comfortable, Rachel, talking about, I read in an interview where you had mentioned that you had been in a really scary car crash when you were a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it really gave you a perspective, even on a show like The OC, where all of a sudden every red carpet, every club rope would be open to you, where you really enjoyed the opportunity just to stay home because you'd had this really big experience in your life already. And that it was a big part of shaping your teenage experience.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was 14 when I was in the car accident, and I definitely was hanging out with people any mom would not want their daughter with, you know? But for me, like, that happened, and then it kind of sent me into another way. And I went to a private high school and I did the acting and the whatever. But being in Los Angeles, even then, in my teenage years or whatever, I did all the things that the people were doing once the show started, like the clubs and this and that. So I definitely had that experience before. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with me, you know, not falling out of the limos and all of the other stuff that was kind of being documented by paparazzi. But for me, all the things in my life that led to that definitely influenced kind of how I took the success of the show, but the work and my dad being in the business. And he would always say, like, do your job and do it well. Because, like, to him, it's like, this is your job, you know? And so I always had that kind of professionalism ingrained in me. And
what great advice.
Yeah, no, it was so simple. But, like, you know, his dad, my great-grandparents, they were all in the business. So it was literally like, this is the business. This is your job. You show up for it and you do a good job, you know? And that was really helpful. But, yeah, all those things, you know, the car accident definitely attributes to my memory loss that Mindy can speak to. That's like kind of amazing. I remember nothing. But yeah, it all shaped kind of the path and who I am and who I became.
I remember that, Rachel. I remember being out with you and Leah at one point and saying we were discussing something. And I remember you saying, yeah, we were kind of wild in high school years. We're not now. And I'm like, and you're 21?
Yeah, I know. It definitely seems backwards, but we started early, got it all out of my system, thankfully. But yeah, so it was definitely.
I think, yeah, all of these things, there's. I don't think there's any right or wrong in life. If we can look back and say, okay, I made that choice. I made that decision. This is my responsibility. And how am I going to learn and grow from it? Mm-hmm. And that's what we get to do. That's what just life is all about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's healthy to live in blame. of something to kind of put a cap on that conversation.
No, yeah, that's great. I feel like since the Friends reunion, there's been so many talks of reunions, and people listening would definitely, they want us to ask, and I want to ask, do you guys feel like after you've started to rewatch all these episodes and you've talked with your co-stars about them and you're discussing it, is there hope for a reunion at any point on screen or off?
I think off is the more likely thing that'll happen. We've all talked and we all want to get together. So we definitely are going to try to plan for that.
Some post-pandemic something. Right.
People talk about a reboot. And what's interesting, having the opportunity to talk to so many different people, like you guys reconnecting, there's a lot of people who've said, I don't want you to do a reboot. I want the show to stay as it is. I don't want it to change or whatnot. So if there were to be some kind of reunion the way Friends did it, that seems a little bit more plausible. But yes, the dinner at Camp Gallagher or the weekend at Camp Gallagher is probably what will end up happening.
Yes. I hope so. That's what I would like.
You're right.
What is something that you would tell your younger selves? Your piece of advice, like day one filming the pilot, that you could just like, you know, have a little whisper to your younger self. What would you tell them?
Hang up your clothes when you wrap.
Yes. I became such good friends with our wardrobe department. And I remember being like out drinking with one of them. And she was just like, hey, no one wants to hang up their clothes.
I always like, have.
Oh, that's
though.
A thing.
No, I'm too considerate. You know, like I'll be like, no, let like our makeup artist, Cindy, be like, let her go home. Don't have her wait to take off your makeup. Like, they need to go home too.
Oh my gosh. I have a story about that. I did it, the Victory podcast, and we were talking about how it's really important to have your room at least decent or hung up because I got a comment from a Teamster who said, thank you for saying that because we're the last ones.
Yeah.
And if the room is a mess, he said that it said something about, I once knew a Teamster who was so frustrated with the actor that he took that actor's toothbrush and cleaned the toilet with it.
But I don't blame him.
Wow.
That's amazing.
But I also would say, enjoy the journey, stay in the moment, and don't wait for the world to get better to choose to be happy. Because living in the future, and what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? Yeah. It can be a toxic narrative in your brain that just takes over instead of just enjoying what's in front of you.
That's such love great that.
I always count on Mindy for the strong words of advice.
Well, I've been working on it. Trust me, because I've always been that person. And I was listening to your podcast, the Life Coach, and it's something that I live by, is that people are always either in fear or love. And if I'm ever ill at ease, or then I have to think about like, what am I acting in right now? What is it? I'm in fear of the future, you know, sadness of the past or whatever's going, I have to stay focused on what's in the moment. And right now I get to talk to you ladies.
Yay. Yeah. Melinda, I have one more question for you before we, you know, start to end this awesome ride of nostalgia. Would you choose a St. John wearing suburban mom or a succubist vampire? Two completely opposite characters, which attests to what a wonderful actor you are.
Oh my gosh.
The succubus was, okay, so my character on Vampire Diaries was written to be a succubus, which is a woman who kills by...
What is that?
She's
inhaling?
She's a female demon who, or at least the way it was written, the Vampire Diaries, she'd make out with this man and basically suck the life out of him and kill him. And I remember getting a call from Julie, and they said, it's too soon. We're too early in the series. We're not going to make you a succubus. And but we shot scenes.
Oh, wait, did you end up not doing that storyline?
We did. We shot some scenes, and I think it was going to develop, but for some reason they decided to cut the succubus part.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't think there was enough supernatural on the show quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. So, but the St. John No, how about a combination of a succubus? Yes, and St. John's.
Wearing St. John's.
I would watch that show. I am all for it.
Me too.
Thank you guys so much. Can you tell our listeners where you're at on social media? We'll have all the links to your podcast in the show notes as well.
At the Melinda Clark, you are at Rachel Bilson.
Yeah, that's Instagram. True.
And we are.
Welcome to the OC Bitches is wherever you listen to podcasts, right? And on YouTube.
We're also on YouTube, so you can watch it. Yes.
Love it. Thank you guys so much for joining us and taking us down this road of nostalgia. It was so fun. So fun to see you both and just kind of go on this crazy journey. And we love your podcast and we can't wait to see where it goes. And welcome to the podcasting world.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having us. This was super fun.
Okay, Candace, I have a really funny story of while shooting the OC that I think I've told you before that I'll tell on this podcast. My character had a steamy makeout scene, and it was one of the first times I was physically in a bed with my shirt off, bra on. Let's specify with an actor by the name of Cam Gigonde, who is also very attractive, very easy on the eyes. And so I was really excited, honestly, for it. And so the whole idea is that we're in this bed having a little makeout session, and Misha Barton is supposed to walk in the door, and basically we stop making out. Well,
mm-hmm. Like she catches you.
She catches us in the act, whatever. So our sound cue is the doorknob turning, right? So we are rehearsing it and okay, whatever. All right, then we do the first take. And I remember like being in the bed and kissing and then kissing and thinking in my head, this is going on for so long. They must be resetting the camera. Maybe they're remarking someone. Like, okay, and I am young and this is, you know, a newer experience for me to be on set, and I just didn't want to mess anything up, so I just kept kissing and kept kissing. And a few minutes in, finally both of us stop and we just like look up, and everyone in the cast is just sitting there watching us, and the director goes, "Are you done?" And apparently Misha had walked in, done the doorknob, and then they were like, "Oh, weird, just reset." And then she walked in again, shook the doorknob, reset. We just couldn't hear, and so there was no communication, and apparently, you know, they just
you were just so committed to the work.
So committed to the work.
A very highly attractive actor you were working with and having to make out with him at all.
Not at all.
As a young college girl. It was just you were there to do your job.
To get paid and do a very, very good specific job. I mean, our job sometimes, it never ceases to amaze me what we do on a day-to-day basis. Do you have any funny, awkward, uncomfortable stories like that on set?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. It's always, you know, I feel like kissing scenes, especially, but it's just different when you're young. I think like when you don't know anyone, and when I say young, I mean that college age, you know what I mean? Like that is, I feel like, you're a little bit more, I felt more comfortable obviously being in my early 20s, knowing that I would have like kissing scenes and sex scenes. It got progressively weirder for the show. Like I think when, you know, it's a bunch of actors and they don't really know each other that well, it's like, oh, okay. But when it becomes like, hey, I've known you for years and you're like my brother and now we got to make out and roll around in a bed together. This is going to get real weird. It's uncomfortable. It's so weird. I mean, I remember, there was a time when Trevino.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
My characters, yeah. Like, I mean, Caroline made out with and like dated everyone in the show. So I
not
think
Candace, as, Caroline.
Not me, just Caroline. But by the time it got to Trevino, I was like, oh gosh, like, we both looked at each other and we're like, this is just going to be weird. And we were both dating other people at the time and we were supposed to go on a double date that night. And then we were like, okay, we got to make out real fast because our dinner reservation is at 7 for this double date. And you know, you just find yourself in very bizarre circumstances.
Since day one too, you two had such a brotherly, sisterly vibe that I feel like of any combination that seems the most odd outside of the show.
Like I know he loves me and I love him, but I know if he was here, he would agree. Like it's just a weird experience. Like there was, that was just weird. But I think you've had like such great makeouts in your career. And you know who my number one jealousy one is still?
John Stamos. Like,
yes. Yes.
Oh yeah. My God, Mel's
Mel's
face.
Mouth is wide open. You know what I'm talking about, Mel. She made out with John Stamos
I did.
At work for a
and
job.
I have to tell you, it was on his, it was a sitcom, a Fox sitcom that lasted for a season called Grandfathered. And I really went for it with John Stamos. And yeah. It was right before I got married too. So I took out a lot of aggression and everything out on him. And, I have to say, it was everything I wanted it to be. And that is the one makeout that Tanner is the most jealous of as well.
Yeah, well, I get it.
Of course.
I get it. It's hard Stamos. Sometimes in these moments to like be okay with that happened. Yeah, but you know, maybe my day will come. Who knows? There's still
I feel like you
time.
Have a great share of... I always thought... I always had such a huge crush on Matt Davis and thought he was like the most attractive. He reminds me of Harrison Ford, which growing up, I always had a thing for Harrison Ford. So I, that to me is like my, I'm a little bit like, oh, Candace got to do that. All right.
Well, no,
cool.
We never, so
oh,
we
you
never
didn't?
Made out on the show. No, but I did carry his witch twin babies. They
right.
Were,
so I
they
thought
were
you,
implanted
oh,
from his.
Copy that.
His, yes. Yes. But so I gave birth to him and his wife's witch babies mm-hmm. through the spell.
Got
and
it.
We
I
then
thought,
were like
thought,
married and dated. I know, but we okay. but we ended up, but even though our characters were linked, like they were like together okay. living together on the show, we never had to make out on the show.
Wow.
I know, but our characters were together. So Caroline really was like with like she first it was Damon and then it was Tyler. No, and Matt Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyler. And then
Klaus?
Stefan and Klaus. Stefan. And then married to Alaric.
Wow.
Or with Alaric. I don't know. I'm sure the fandom's going to be very upset by
Were you
I
married? For the record.
No, I don't think I was because it ended with a wedding. So maybe, but they were just like cohabitating and co-parenting. You know, co-parenting your,
right.
your vampire witch twins that, you know, with your old history teacher as a vampire, you know.
Just normal, normal. I can't wait
normal
to see all
stuff.
The comments on all of this because you know there are people who have different theories.
I know.
So
I'm sorry,
we'll
fandom. I'm really, really sorry. I do my best. One day maybe there'll be a Vampire Diaries rewatch and then I will have a better memory of what actually occurred because it all blends in. But but this is so fun. And I love that coming off of a year like 2020, which I know I say a lot, but it's true. I found so much comfort in watching old series and things that, you know, and even listening to music from my teenage and early 20 years. And I feel like everyone's rewatching shows that they really appreciate. So it's so fun to be able to rewatch something and listen to the actors and creators' experience while rewatching right. it. So Rachel, Melinda, your podcast is awesome. Again, listeners, if you want to listen to it, the podcast is called Welcome to the OC Bitches. You can listen wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much. And we'll have an all new episode of Directionally Challenged waiting for you next week.
Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.